You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Marvel Universe. My name is Jennifer Hartshorn, and welcome back to another episode of Earth Station MCU. We've got actually a lot of news this week, which is pretty cool for a change, and we had a doubleheader of Agent Carter this week, so lots to talk about. So without further ado, how goes it with you, John?
It's been a good weekend. I'm ready to get started on the week, ready to tackle it like Leonardo DiCaprio fighting a bear.
I can't even. All right.
Rawr.
Rawr. All right, cool. So we had a lot of news this week. I think the newest bit of news that we had was we finally have someone cast as Iron Fist.
Yes, it started going around on the various websites, but didn't really gain any real credibility, I think, until it started appearing on Entertainment Weekly and Variety. Mm-hmm. You know, the two biggest trade magazines, and we've got Finn Jones of mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is our new Danny Rand.
Yes, and he played Loras Tyrell on there. A very different. I mean, he had fighting on there,
right? But he showed he could fight.
Yes, exactly. But very different kind of style than I'm expecting from Iron Fist.
Oh yeah, you know, you go from a bit kind of a swords and sorcery to mysticism and kung fu.
Right, exactly. So that will definitely be interesting. There was a lot of back and forth with people about should Danny Rand be played by an Asian American actor or should he not? And of course, there was no way that no matter what they did, whether they went with someone who was Asian or they went with someone who wasn't Asian, right, somebody was going to be unhappy no matter what.
At least one article I read was, you know, in a lose-lose scenario, Marvel chose lose.
Right, exactly, exactly. Because, you know, it's sort of like, and I know everyone, it's a touchy subject with most Marvel folks, but it's sort of like with the Mandarin, you know, It's like, do you go with the racist stereotype or do you go with something that is different? And it was just, it's just, you know, if they had made it an Asian American or an Asian mm-hmm. Anglo or whatever, then it would just be playing to the stereotype, you know, of, oh, yeah, it's an Asian person, so they must be good at martial arts and math, you know, so... So, yeah, exactly.
Somebody's going to be disappointed no matter what you do.
Right. And while that's true with pretty much all casting, it was doubly so here. And we'll talk in the second half about sort of how they've dealt with people of color in the MCU. But but so, yeah, I think he's going to be good. I think they picked a good actor for the job. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I liked him on Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I think he's got the kind of ability to be Danny. Mm-hmm. Part of being Danny is almost that you have to be the most spastic white kid ever who got martial arts powers. Because if you read most modern interactions between uh-huh. him and Luke Cage now, Luke is very much the stone cold. Mm-hmm. What's the word I'm looking for when you
stoic?
Yeah, stoic, yeah, of the two of them, and Danny is very much the phlegmatic, type A, active,
right,
you know, enthusiastic one, mm-hmm. to almost the extent where you expect Luke to tell him just to shut up once in a while.
Well, I'm looking forward to it at any rate. It'll be I'm guessing we may see him in the Luke Cage series, or he could show up on season two of Daredevil or any number of things.
Well, I mean, let's hope, because Mike Coulter did say in an interview that they had already cast Iron Fist, and this is well before we got this news.
Right.
So that could hint that he is going to show up.
That would be good. I'm an impatient person, so I would like for that to happen.
Yeah, hopefully we get some actual confirmation from Marvel in the next few days.
And let's see what else we had. Of course, James Gunn had a very good rant about what he was concerned that Hollywood would take away as the message
from Deadpool.
Deadpool, thank you.
Yeah.
From Deadpool being so incredibly successful. And and sure
because
enough...
Because we know that Hollywood is capable of no original ideas whatsoever lately.
Yeah.
So they'll be look at this and like, why was it good? It was R-rated. Let's make everything R-rated.
And so now they're talking about the Batman versus Superman having an R-rated director's cut and all that.
I think that's just for the DVD Blu-ray release.
That's what they're saying. But you know, everyone's coming up and saying, oh, well, this could be R-rated and this could be R-rated. And so I thought it was pretty funny. We had a couple of tweets go back and forth between Peyton Reed, who is, of course, directing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
And James Gunn, and Peyton Reed posted something, breaking, Ant-Man and the Wasp is going full NC-17, confirmed.
Yeah. Oh, that was a pretty good exchange between them, especially when they both have a great sense of humor, they're both very good comedy directors, so you can only expect that kind of exchange between Peyton Reed and James Gunn.
Right, and James Gunn's response was, I hear Inhumans is going to be a snuff film. You know, so, you know, two fun people commenting on the ridiculousness of some things going on in the media now.
And speaking of comedic directors and Ant-Man, you know, if you were watching the Oscars tonight, Adam McKay actually won for The Big Short.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so, and of course, he's coming back to Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Well, that's great. That is very cool, because anything that helps to raise the profile of things is good.
Yeah.
Because it means more money and more attention, and those are good things.
And one last Oscar thing is, you know, they actually had Chadwick Boseman and Chris Evans came out to present.
Oh, cool. Cool, that's very nice. So speaking of Chadwick Boseman, we had a little bit of news in terms of him making some comments on Black Panther that I thought were interesting. He's stressing it. Of course, we've all seen the art that shows what appears to be Iron Man's team and Cap's team lining up face to face on the poster. But he's now saying that it's not a matter of Black Panther being on Iron Man's side, that it's more of a political kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's something that's been said about the movie from the very beginning and Black Panther's appearance in it is that he's really more or less a neutral party. He's like, get this crap out of my country.
Right. Right.
And
exactly.
It certainly seems like he's going to be a much more political character, especially when they've described his own movie as being a geopolitical thriller.
Right, right, exactly. So that certainly complicates the matters of who's on which side and everything. Because, of course, I've seen plenty of things about, well, this person can kick this person's ass, and, you know, just... That
Oh yeah, that typical middle school, you know, playground discussion between you and your friends.
Exactly. So anyway, I think it's going to be interesting. Whatever they're going to do with that, and I look forward to that. Also, in Captain America: Civil War, we have Martin Freeman, who I'm trying to remember. Had they already announced? Yeah, they had already announced who he was playing, hadn't they?
Not really. It had been speculated about, but
okay.
They didn't really announce it, I think, until recently.
So he's going to be playing Everett Ross, who is not in any way related to General Ross or Betty Ross, who are related to each other, but not to him.
And the perfect role for Martin Freeman.
Exactly, exactly. the article that I'm looking at that was actually in the Hollywood Reporter refers to him as the Emperor of Useless White Boys.
So, that's pretty much every Martin Freeman character. And he does it spectacularly. I'm not putting him down for that.
Oh, absolutely. I disagree in that I think that Watson is pretty not useless. He's pretty awesome, actually, when he plays
Don
Watson.
He does suffer a lot.
He puts up with a lot of crap
in Sherlock.
Yes, he does put up with a lot of crap from Sherlock, but yeah. So it's neat. I've got a kick out of the pictures that they posted so far with him having blonde, blow-dried looking hair.
Well, it's not the first time, but
yeah, but it's just a different look than I'm used to from him. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, we've mentioned, I think, before that this is a character who is very tied in with Wakanda. So we can expect to presumably see him again when Black Panther comes around.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's got to be one reason to put him in this movie, is that they're going to tie him into T'Challa later.
Right. And that's, you know, it's all connected. I love the way that they weave these characters in, and it makes sense for him, you know, if he's the sort of the American government liaison to Wakanda, it makes sense for him to get involved with the Sokovia Accords and all that. Yeah. So,
and it'll be interesting to see if he ends up becoming the new Coulson for this next phase. Because obviously in phase one, we had Phil Coulson tying everything together. Phase two, Peggy Carter was tying everything together.
More or less.
This what appears to be kind of her funeral in this movie, Martin Freeman taking over that role for phase three.
That would be interesting. Yeah, she wasn't, I mean, she wasn't in everything for phase two, the way Coulson was in phase one, but she showed up a lot, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see what else another Civil War rumor, at least I guess this is fairly confirmed, is that we're going to be getting Pepper Potts back for Civil War as well.
Yeah, and that perfectly makes sense, you know, in that Tony is involving himself in this, and she's kind of an outside perspective and someone who helps keep him grounded. So maybe she helps tell him, hey, you need to ratchet it down a bit. This is your friend here.
Could be. I mean, it could go lots of different ways. I know that Robert Downey Jr. had insisted that she be written into Avengers, the first one, because he said, you know, this is important to show that side of Tony, that he's, you know, he's not just Iron Man. He's a dude, and he has relationships.
Yeah, 12% of relationships.
Right. Oh, nice one. They're saying that she wasn't involved in the initial shoots, but when they went back to do reshoots this spring, she was involved in that. So probably not a big part, but hopefully a couple of scenes here and there in there. So that will be cool.
It'll be good to see her at least.
Yep, absolutely. Another big thing that happened fairly recently was we got a new trailer for Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. It was exciting. I loved every second of it. I actually loved this one better than I loved the first one.
Oh, yeah? Why would you say that?
The introduction of Elektra, the ratcheting up of the action in it, the introduction and spoken, like, the outright calling out of the hand by Stick. Who are a major force in Daredevil comics. They show up in other things like Wolverine and Avengers sometimes. But they're basically your evil ninja cult who worship demons and, you know, sometimes come back from the dead.
It seems like any group that calls himself the Hand, whether it's like the Black Hand or the White Hand or any kind of hand, they're just always bad news.
The White Hand of Saruman.
Exactly. Exactly. So also on the Netflix side of the fence, we had an official comment from Jeff Loeb that that they do not have a Punisher series currently planned.
Right.
And I know a lot of people are calling for that, but the thing is, if we do two seasons of all of the Defenders things, or even some of the Defenders things, we're already looking several years down the road.
Yeah, Marvel Television is a little busy right now. If between everything going on with the Defenders for Netflix, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Peggy Carter, hopefully getting a third season, and Marvel's Most Wanted starting up.
Right.
They just got their hands full.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have absolute faith that Jon Bernthal is going to be fantastic.
Yes.
But I mean, they've got a lot going on. And so I completely understand. And he's not saying that it absolutely won't happen, but he is saying that, you know, this is something that it's not on the schedule just yet. And then finally, God bless Mackie. Anthony Mackie had made a statement. He was doing publicity for a movie that has just come out that he's in. And, he said something very enthusiastic where he was saying about how, he had seen a cut of the movie of Civil War and how great everyone was, and Robert Downey Jr. was great, and Scarlett Johansson was great, and Chris Evans was great, and Mark Ruffalo was great. And this caused people to go bananas because it sounded like, oh, well, it sounds like Hulk really is in it. But he has kind of walked that back.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those, oh, no, I just meant to say that, you know, everybody that I work with in the Marvel Universe is fantastic. That's, you know, he's not in it, no.
Yeah, so I don't really know. I'm inclined to think that he's going to be in it to some degree. We know that scenes were filmed with him in Germany, but we'll see. It seemed like his retraction seemed very very awkward and half-assed. So,
and I mean, we know they did record some stuff with him, but the last that we were told, it got cut. It got left on the cutting room floor, basically.
Exactly. So So I think that is about it for news this week. Lots of stuff, and you know, we've got Civil. Well, we've got, I guess, the next thing coming out is Daredevil in, at this point, just a few weeks. For season two of that, and then before you know it, we'll have Civil War coming out. So, lots of stuff going on to look forward to. All right, so we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be talking about two episodes for Agent Carter, The Edge of Mystery, and A Little Song and Dance.
Hello, my name is Jay Patrick, and that is Adam.
Hello.
Join us for the Adam and JP Show.
Hello.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Hello.
Get it now.
Hello.
Oh, we're just kidding. If you love comics, video games, movies, wrestling.
Who doesn't? These are all great things that make us who we are.
That's true. Then you should join us for the Adam and JP Show. You actually can get it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, that part was true.
And right here on the ESO Network.
And adamandjp.com.
Welcome back, everybody. And now we're going to be talking about another doubleheader of Agent Carter this week. A lot of stuff happened, and I'm not really going to break it up into the two episodes because it all kind of, when you watch two together, they all kind of run together. But I guess one thing to talk about is we got a very grim, dark version of Jarvis this time around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jarvis was out for revenge after Anna got shot.
Absolutely. And it's weird because usually he is, you know, he's the comic relief. And it definitely gave everything a very different tone to have him not lightening things up.
It's always that be wary of the quiet ones, you know?
Oh absolutely. Yes.
Some people you just don't want to see angry, and I think that includes Edwin Jarvis.
Yes, and he was certainly acting very rashly But I think everybody could understand why he was mm-hmm. he was unhappy, and specifically, it wasn't just that she had been shot, but at the point where he goes completely on the warpath is when yeah. the doctor has told him that Anna is not going to be able to have children.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't know exactly how much of a big deal that was for her, but it clearly is a big deal for him. And it seems to, it seems to almost put a damn, you know, if you're the kind of person who wants to have kids one day,
that's a big deal.
Like telling you, yeah, that's like a door slamming in your face and saying this path is no longer available to you.
Right, exactly. And obviously it's understandable that, you know, that he would be upset. For me though, the thing that it immediately made me think of was that whole big deal about Black Widow in
right.
Age of Ultron. And mm-hmm. you know, in general the MCU has been very, very good about
right.
About women's issues and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think any of the movies actually pass the Bechdel test when you get right down to it. But actually Iron Man 3 does, I think. But anyway, in general it's been pretty good, but it's just kind of weird to see now a second time this implication that a woman who can't have children is... You know,
right.
that there's something fundamentally wrong there. It's like you've taken away her reason for living. And we haven't seen Anna's reaction to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
the camera pulled back from that. But it definitely seems to be an implied thing there. And that just kind of didn't sit right with me.
And yeah, and that's certainly understandable and one way to read it. Into it because, well, it's like, well, what are you saying about Anna then? Is that all she's worth?
Right.
But, again, like you said, we have not seen her reaction to it. She may react to it better than Jarvis does.
Mm-hmm.
When we see it in Age of Ultron, one way to look at that is, you know, they took away her ability to choose whether she wants
right.
to or not.
Right, it's taking away the idea of choice. My personal mm-hmm. reading of that, as people will recall from when we talked about it, was that she was saying, you know, they made her sterile and they made her a monster, and that those two things were not exactly the same.
Right.
That was part of what they had done to her, that they had taken that away from her. But
yeah.
I did not read that as her saying, because I can't have children, that makes me a monster. But many people did.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, they maybe could have done a better job of separating those two things out
mm-hmm.
to say, no, they made me a monster because they made me this
right.
cold-blooded assassin.
Right.
Not because they took away my ability to have kids.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's... It'll be interesting to see whether or not we're going to get any information about Anna's reaction to that or if they're just going to say, you know, that's a private moment between them and we don't need to see it. But
right. Because, you know, that would be perfectly respectful to be like, this is their moment. This is their issue. And, you know,
it is.
We wouldn't intrude into the lives of people otherwise.
Right. And there's that argument, but then there's also the argument that this is a show that, like you said, it is a very big turning point in the life of one of our two main characters.
Yes.
So there's that, and there's also the argument that because this is something that is such a big deal, you should see, not just see it through Jarvis's eyes, that we should see the other perspective. We should see it from the woman's perspective,
right,
too.
Right, and she's been such a great character this season. Why wouldn't we see it through hers,
right.
through her perspective as well?
Right, exactly. I know that there have been some articles written in the last week that have brought up the women in refrigerators trope and the idea
mm-hmm.
that... you know, that we only get action out of Jarvis at the point where his wife has been, you know, been injured. And I don't know. I think that there are a lot of examples of that, and this one didn't quite read that way to me, but who knows? Also the fact that that the person who put her in this situation is Whitney mm-hmm. Frost, who is of course a woman, but right. Anyway, we had a lot of other stuff going on, of course. We had
a surprise from Dr. Wilkes.
Yes, we had lot of surprises there. Actually, we had him getting sort of like raptured up into the giant hole of zero matter, which of course yes. Whitney was very not happy about.
No, take me! I was your servant.
Exactly. But then he shows back up, and he's a bad guy. And that was kind of weird, where he, like, pulls a gun on Peggy, and
yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Like, he wants to see this thing through, and it all starts, I think, when he starts listening to the voices, you know?
Yeah, and I had initially thought that, you know, when Whitney starts saying, oh, do you hear the voices, that she was just nuts. That there actually were voices there.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, like, me coming from the comic background and knowing about the Dark Dimension and what lives, or specifically right. who lives in the Dark Dimension, who ties into Doctor Strange, it's entirely possible that she is hearing things,
right.
or that they're both hearing things now.
Right. And so, you know, with that in mind, we can sort of see potentially how he would how he could be convinced, but it was still a shock for me. I did not expect for him to do the heel turn thing. But anyway,
so he's like a heel face revolving door in this in these two episodes.
Well, him and then also Thompson, who mm-hmm. I admit I did not see all of the loops coming there. I mean, I guess yeah. it's, you know, a tribute to the show and these two episodes in particular, that I was into it enough, I was immersed enough that I wasn't thinking of things in terms of right. plot analysis. But
ultimately, Thompson's betraying everybody so that he can, you know, try to end Whitney and Masters and the threat posed by Phil, Dr. Wilkes once and for all.
Right. And I just thought that the whole I did not think that he would turn on Vernon Masters to the degree that he did. I thought that he was still going to be, you know, truth and justice in the American way. And, you know, while Whitney is, you know,
have you met Thompson?
I know. But I was just thinking that, like, with Whitney, obviously she's got to go. She's just got to be
yeah.
killed as soon as possible because she's an uncontrollable monster. But I
right.
thought that he would want to see Vernon arrested, but no, that's not the way that ended up going.
Well, I think he just sees Vernon Masters more as kind of the sacrificial lamb, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
for this. It's like, I would normally want to see you get arrested for all your dubious crap, but I gotta make sure these two get blown up.
Yeah.
So.
And
sorry.
And not only that, there's also, you know, at this point they don't know how deep things run with the Arena Club.
Right.
Slash Hydra West Coast or whatever it is.
Yeah, because as soon as they got their warrant to storm the Arena Club, the judge called up Masters.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe he was justified, but it went back and forth and back and forth a couple of times there.
Yep.
I mean, I totally got it when he, you know, when he said to Sousa, you know, follow my lead. And, you know, had them get arrested and brought back. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I get what he's doing there. And, you know, when he said, I want to go and tell Whitney, it's like, okay, that's fine. And then he says to Whitney, oh, no, it's a bomb, and they're going to try and blow you up. And I was like, why is he doing this? This makes no sense. But it basically
mm-hmm.
all worked out in the end, more or less. But speaking of Dr. Wilkes, that's another thing that I know we mentioned it before. It's an awkward pattern that they've got with black guys in the MCU, you know, specifically in the TV shows, because of course
right.
we had Triplet, you know, who gets whacked in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
We had Deathlok and Garner, who both turned into inhuman monsters, basically. literally inhuman in the case of Garner. But then we've also got, you know, Ben in Daredevil, and Detective Ozzy in Jessica Jones, and I mean,
Mac's okay still.
That's true. That's true.
Keep our fingers crossed.
We do have one black male in of the dozen or so that have shown up who is still alive.
We're going to have another when Marvel's Most Wanted starts.
Right,
Mr. Fortune.
Yep, exactly. And we've got Luke Cage, you know, so.
Yep.
So there's that, but it's a disturbing thing for me that they keep killing people off, and specifically killing black males off.
But, I mean, we got plenty of white people lying around. We can deal without one of them. That one over there.
Yeah.
You Samberley. Yeah, you can take over.
Yeah, exactly. Let's kill Samberley instead.
All right. I look forward to your letters.
Yes. Well, anyway, I'm really hoping that the next time we have an African-American character, that they get to live, because this has just not been a good pattern.
Right.
And then one other thing that I guess we should bring up was we had a musical number that randomly showed up at the beginning.
We did.
Of the
well,
episode.
You know, it was in somebody's head when they were knocked unconscious, so. And, maybe not too random, even though a little random.
Well, yeah, I mean, and believe me, I am a huge fan of musical episodes when you have people who are talented in the cast. And obviously, I had no idea that the actor that plays Sousa he's got some serious pipes, and he's a good dancer. And
well, you know, if you really want to make it as an actor, you gotta be good at a little bit of everything.
That's true. That's true. And yet, there are many people who are not. I mean, look at
this is true.
Allison Hannigan, because that's one of my favorite musical episodes of all time. Of course, was the Buffy Once More with Feeling, and
yes.
Allison Hannigan has one line. Basically, I think this line's mostly filler. Is all that she has for singing.
yeah, and I think she kind of dodges the bullet again during How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly. So when you've got a cast of people that can handle it, then that's
right.
Great. And obviously, Hayley Atwell was fantastic at the dancing and everything. But
and it was great to see
Angie
Lindsay
again.
Fresca back.
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely. And everybody, pretty much all the main characters this year got involved. I did not notice, because it went by so fast, that the Pink Flamingo girls that are with Jarvis were actually familiar faces. It's actually Whitney Frost and Anna and Dottie that are playing his three dancing girls, which I did not realize until I saw a still picture of that.
Yeah, now I'm pledged to do the musical version of Jarvis for Dragon Con.
Excellent.
So I'm gonna have to find that tux.
Excellent. But there again, didn't see any singing or dancing out of Jarvis, really, just that one bit. So
no, maybe James isn't as skilled. But
who knows? But it was a lot of fun, and like I said,
yes.
I come from a musical theater background, and so I'm always just delighted when I...
Hey, man, you ain't the only one.
I know, but, you know. I'm always happy to see that,
right.
But I'm happier when it's integrated well, and it just seemed like this didn't tell us anything. I mean, it's a perfectly valid excuse to do it, because she was knocked out and all that, so it's we can excuse it.
Yeah,
but it didn't seem like it advanced the plot at all. It didn't give us any new insights, and it kind of reduced Peggy to a romance character. It was about should she choose Sousa or should she choose Dr. Wilkes?
Well, she has had that subplot running through the season.
She has
with developing feelings for Dr. Wilkes, but still having to deal with her feelings for Sousa.
But
and I mean, we can't live in a world where a female character isn't expected to have romantic feelings for anybody.
Certainly. I mean, we can. Yeah, I mean, I could come up with examples, but I just think that I like this show better
right.
when it's focused on her as a hero and not as
yes.
a love interest. But on the other hand, you can look at it as in the musical theater idiom, that's usually the only story being told, is who should she marry?
Well, yeah, and I mean, so long as it's not reduced to just that.
Right.
I mean, I think people need to be, characters need to be well-rounded, and we can't just discard her romantic feelings,
sure.
but also we can't make them the focus of everything.
Right. And so since that was a comparatively small part of the episode,
right.
not a big deal. But I guess I would have liked to see something where she gets, I don't know, some insight into Whitney or Dottie or something. But
mm-hmm.
I was not super crazy about it for those reasons.
And for my credit, I think the best musical episode ever was still done by Scrubs. But
you know, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's great.
Is it?
It's all from the perspective of a patient who's basically had, I think, a brain aneurysm.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And so she is picturing everyone singing.
Interesting. That sounds very
and
cool.
They, of course, they cure it by the end.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like, well, I'm glad to be alive, but I'm going to miss some music.
Interesting. Well, mm-hmm. I guess, interestingly, I guess that is one genre that that Marvel has not tackled yet.
You know? And now they have.
Yes. You know, they've done espionage and they've done, you know, mystical and everything. But yeah, I would be... I don't know that there's really precedent for anything like that in the comics, but that would be interesting at some point down the road to have a musical movie for Marvel. But
who knows? I mean,
there was a Broadway musical of Spider-Man Turn on the Dark, which was about
yeah.
the biggest
well,
flop of that
season.
Turn
off the Dark. Yeah, and it suffered from so much bad luck. It's
yeah.
like somebody walked into the theater every day saying Macbeth.
Right. I mean, in that case, it was a very heavily technical effects-based show, and
mm-hmm.
they had tons and tons of problems with it. But anyway, that was...
Music done by Bono and the Edge, too.
Indeed, which you would think would have gotten them more ticket sales than it did. But anyway. All right, so I guess it's time to do some ratings for this episode. Episodes. I guess we'll do ratings for both of them as a group because they all kind of just ran together. So on a scale of 1 to 5 pink flamingos, or pink flamingo dancing girls in this case, how would you rate this with 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever?
Let's go with 4 dancing girls because I love how things are ratcheting up as far as, man, I keep using that phrase this episode,
uh-huh.
but how things are amping up both for the action, for the characters. I love the throw-in of the musical, even as random as it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the twists and turns between Wilkes and Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really looking forward to how this is going to end next week.
Absolutely. And of course, we've seen some promo pictures that remind us that yes, Howard is going to be back for the finale. So that will be good to have the band back together again.
Preacher's not keeping him away.
Apparently not. It's hard because there was a lot of stuff that I liked, and like I said, it's to this show's credit that I didn't
mm-hmm.
see some of these plot twists coming because I was just so absorbed in it. I'm going to go with a 3.5 just because there were once the show was over, I had a lot of stuff that I was like, wait a second, I'm not crazy about that in terms of you know, everything from the sterility thing and the way that you know, Wilkes is getting the same treatment as every other person of color, black men specifically, and then the fact that the musical number I felt just didn't mesh as well as it could have, but
mm-hmm.
But it was still a good episode. So yeah, I guess that'll do us for this week. Anything else
okay.
you want to? We got going on?
That's it, really.
All right, cool. Well, then, we will be seeing you in 1 week's time. We have been plagued by technical problems the last few weeks, but hopefully, even tonight, we had connection problems. But hopefully...
Friggin' gremlins, man. Friggin' gremlins.
That's a much nicer way than I usually put it with regard to Skype. But at any rate, we will be back next week for the season finale. And hopefully everything will go smoothly now that everything's taken care of technically. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back for the finale next week. And then after that, we will be starting with the next season of S.H.I.E.L.D. So we'll see you then. A little bird once said to me, you gotta live a little before you're happy. And if you take a lot, you'll be left with none. I had to learn a bit, live a bit, let it all sink in a bit. This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.